This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
John, thanks for taking the time to come on the podcast today.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Pat.
John, can you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what business you're involved with, please?
Yeah, for sure. So I operate a couple of health clinics. They're part of the what we're calling the Health Hub Collective, and they're comprised of a clinic in the Barrhaven area of Ottawa and one in the Manotick area. And we call it the Health Hub Collective.
And what kind of work do you do within the collective?
So within our group, our primary services are physiotherapy, massage therapy, and then nutritional coaching, with the mid to long term idea of expanding into different aspects of health.
And John, do you find the nutritional account, like, is that a big part of your business now? I'm thinking back to maybe 15 years ago, that probably wouldn't have been a thing, right? And now it's become, it's become a very important part of a overall health and wellness plan. Have you seen that pick up since you started the business?
The nutritional part of our business is quite small. It's under 10%. Mm. And what we do is, I think, a little bit specialized. It's more on like the coaching aspect of nutrition. So we dive into portions of lifestyle, sleep hygiene. It's not just about nutrition. Mm. Nutrition encompasses a lot of different things. I mean, why people eat, what they do, and when they eat, how they eat. We kind of take an all-encompassing look at nutrition, but it is a very small part of our business, but it is growing. Yes.
Nice. What was your background before starting your own business?
Yeah, I was quite interested in the human body and its mechanics, anatomy, movement, and kinetics. And I started in health sciences, and then I decided to get into massage therapy. So in my late teens, so around the age of 20, I moved to Ottawa. I took the massage therapy program at Algonquin College. That was kind of my launch pad into this alternative health service. And so I am still an RMT. I do a little bit more rehabilitative work versus, the relaxation spa treatments. I really enjoy treatment planning. I enjoy kind of taking a bit of a deeper dive into, mechanics and movement and strength and exercise and function. But that is what I do within the practice, as well as working as the clinical director for the business.
And did you start this radio school, John, or did you work at other clinics first?
I practiced at a couple of different clinics for many years. And yeah, it was a great experience. It's where I sort of built, I guess, a lot of, not so much knowledge, but kind of figured out who I was as a practitioner and what I wanted to do in this industry.
And was there a tipping point, John? Like, you're working for somebody else, and the reason why I'm asking, a lot of our listeners are in your situation that you were probably in when you were working within other clinics, and there is a tipping point or a decision point where you decide, I got to go do this on my own. I went through it. So I'm curious, was there a kind of a light bulb moment for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, we only make decisions for two reasons. It's pain or pleasure. And in this case, the decision to do something on my own and to become a true entrepreneur, let's say, was a little bit of both, and when you're working for a large company, you don't have a lot of choice as to how you manage your day, what services you offer, what things you want to focus on. There's a lot of limitations. You can't pivot and do your own thing and create something necessarily that you might be really proud of, because there's so many other moving parts and you just don't have control. And so that was a painful part for me. I continue to hit roadblocks with, what I wanted to do. The pleasure part of it is just, again, like offering something that you're proud of, that you can stand behind wholeheartedly and know that you're you know, you're putting something out into the world that you dreamt of and then eventually brought all the way through to fruition.
And how many years has the business been around, John?
This will be, so January will mark our fourth year in operation. So we started in late December 2019, and I think it was 67 days before the pandemic hit is when we opened our doors.
Wow. So
it was good timing. I mean, you know, we didn't have anybody to fire. We didn't have to furlough anyone. You know, the expectations became, you know, low as to, you know, how successful we wanted to be in our first 3, 6, and 9 months.
And what would you say would be the top three business lessons you've learned in the last 4 years?
Top three business lessons. Oh, geez. That's a loaded question. There's so many. I feel like I learn something every week, to be honest. It's
let me rephrase it, John. Is there one or two perhaps that you didn't see coming, that you thought it was going to go one way or and it ended up going a different way? I mean, other than the obvious, the pandemic, but is there one or two that you thought you had prepared for, but you realized that you weren't quite ready for?
I think originally, you know, when you write a business plan, you draft numbers, right? So I kind of looked at it as a, you know, best case, a probable, and then a worst case scenario. And, you know, when looking at those numbers, there's so many different models, at least within the clinic space, as to how you can bill for services, how you can provide remuneration to practitioners. And so our model almost completely changed for a number of reasons. And, you know, we just had to stay flexible with what we were doing and, you know, and also, you know, set the proper expectations for our partners, for our subcontractors, and for our patients or clients. And so, you know, we looked at a model where we did have, employees at one point on a, you know, a salaried model. And when the pandemic rolled around, you know, it just wasn't possible. You know, we couldn't, we would have sunk immediately. And so we did go to kind of a fee for service and a subcontracted model. And I really put the onus back on, you know, our working partners and our subcontractors to just make sure that they took full responsibility for their caseloads. And that turned into just a really great way to operate because it offloaded a pile of, financial responsibility and the stress and pressure that comes along with that in a very, very different, economical landscape and societal landscape, like, you know.
Right.
And then it just allowed us to all grow as practitioners and as subcontractors and partners. And it just created this like sense of accomplishment for all of us. And I thought that was really something special.
And John, did you end up continuing, if you don't mind me asking, like along those same lines of a model that way versus the way you originally went into it?
100% we did. Mm-hmm. And I'll never change it. It's, the people that I want to work with are ones that are comfortable taking responsibility and accountability for their actions, for their successes, and for their failures. And, you know, I don't want employees, you know, I want partners. I want people that have the same enthusiasm, that are going to show up every single day, that are going to wake up, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning with a great idea and write it down on a piece of paper so they don't forget. And bring it to our Monday morning meeting. You know, like I want people like that. I want people that want to grow. I want people that may not have necessarily the courage to become, you know, a full-blown entrepreneur, but they have portions of that in their DNA. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So really what you're saying is that, you know, they're going to try to grow their own businesses and quotations within your ecosystem, right? And your support network and your, you know, within your building, within your, all the resources that you can bring to the table. It's really actually a nice model because as much as we, you know, we put entrepreneurship on a pedestal, I always, you know, when I'm coaching people, I say, listen, this is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it really isn't. I don't know how you feel, John, but a lot of people think it is. But then when they get in there and, you know, their first year is tough and they struggle maybe financially or you know, with their time management or personnel issues, they realize, geez, maybe I wasn't cut out for this. So I think your model is ideal for those people that have a bit of an entrepreneurship bent, but don't want that full on responsibility. Would you agree, John?
Absolutely, Pat. And, you know, you asked me, I think your first question was just about, or one of them was about like what I had kind of learned. And transparently, you know, it took me close to 10 years to gain the courage to actually do this. It took me a long time that, you know, I just continued to ponder and dream and scheme and business plan after business plan after business plan and failed partnerships. And, you know, it really took a long time for me to get to this point. And what I realized is that I'm not the only one. I make up the large majority in this type of industry and in this type of space. And if I could create a model that allowed people that were in my spot 10 years ago to join something where they had to be an entrepreneur and have all of those, like check all those boxes, you know, where they take responsibility for themselves and their schedule. And, you know, they pay attention to the numbers and they are okay, I guess, without the comfortable job, you know, with a guaranteed salary. And, you know, there is a sales portion to it. They have if they had all of those things, but they didn't know how to do necessarily the business side of things, you know, I wanted to create a model that allowed people like that, great practitioners with a little bit of business skill and a little bit of chutzpah, to be able to jump into a business with somebody that's doing it and that's looking for growth. And so that's what I've done. You know, that's how I got over that hump. You know, I invited some really great people to the table to partner. And, you know, part of my responsibility, aside from being a practitioner part-time, is to make sure that the wheel is turning, that the business is being run in the back end, and that all those scary things are gone.
They can be scary some days.
They're terrifying.
Yeah. I've never heard it described that way, but that's pretty accurate. I may steal that from you if you don't mind.
Is your marketing getting the results you want? If not, maybe it's because you're focused on tactics instead of strategy. It's like trying to treat a patient without a proper diagnosis. It just doesn't work. What if I told you we can grow your business by a minimum of $100,000 guaranteed? How can we make such a claim? We're leaders in marketing health and wellness companies like yours. We know your industry. We know what works. We know what doesn't. Visit our website at www.extensionmarketing.com to book your exploratory meeting and find out if we're a good fit for your company.
John, in health and wellness space, I mean, you know, there's so much emphasis on this now, in particular as it pertains to employees and making sure your employees' health and wellness is, you know, is always top of mind and on point and on track. What are some changes that you see coming in your industry in the next kind of 3 to 5 years?
I would predict, I mean, based on some of the patterns we've seen over the last 10, I would predict just a continuance of exactly what we've seen and what we're seeing now. People are continuing to take more responsibility for their own health. They are actively engaged in the process. They are asking questions. They are showing up to appointments with some knowledge and often with, you know, a diagnosis from Google, which is sometimes okay, but usually not. So I think that you're going to continue to see people actively, you know, participate in their own health and look at that, things like physiotherapy and massage therapy and chiropractic and naturopathy, osteopaths, even, you know, taking up like personal training. And you're going to see people continue to do that. And I think that part of that is there's an accessibility piece. Like in our small community in Ottawa here, I mean, we have a number of people that have pretty good benefits. And so the care itself is very affordable. there is such a saturation of, you know, clinics that do, you know, all this, I don't know, all the same things in different ways, but it's very accessible. So it's accessible financially, it's accessible just in terms of location. And so I think that trend is going to continue. I think that people are going to continue to participate in their own health. The other thing that I think is leading to that is, you know, we have such a shortage of family physicians. And so, you know, I feel like they need to do that. You know, it's a bit of a scary time right now for our healthcare system, just in general.
Yeah, I would agree. And you mentioned earlier, you know, as part of your answer, that the benefits programs here in Ottawa, you know, pretty robust, obviously, with a lot of public servants, but even our private sector, you know, even small businesses, you know, it's a big selling feature is to have a benefits plan. So people should take advantage of it. And yet I see a lot of people don't, you know, they wait until something goes wrong and they react versus being proactive. Do you try to instill that in the people that you care for, John?
Yeah, I mean, our approach is absolutely a preventive model. You know, this is not a, you know, our clinics, our facilities are not places that you go when you're, you know, sick and broken. No, the door will be open when you find yourself in that state. And I mean, we all do, you know, we all get physically injured, but at times through our lives. But really what we try to instill is to take that preventive approach to care, right? So how do you create resiliency? How do you build strength and mobility? And how do you manage, you know, existing things, you know, that kind of chronic shoulder pain or that, you know, nagging low back? So don't wait until you're laid out on the ground. I mean, do something on a somewhat regular basis. And it doesn't need to be in the clinic. You know, it can just be a guided program that we can give you. We can teach you and show you how to participate in your own health. And so we absolutely try to instill that in our clients and patients. And, you know, a large amount of them are good. You know, I think that over time, people fall off a little bit. This is the natural kind of cycle. You know, you get better things, you know, your pain goes away, and then you slowly slip away from doing the things that you know are good for you. And, you know, and that's human nature. And that's just, I don't know, it's just how people are. So we try. And I think we're successful with it too. I don't know how to make us more successful with it. I would love to. If you knew, Pat, that would be great.
that's a $1 million question.
Yeah, it is. Totally.
John, I want to bring it back to the last couple of questions here, you know, about entrepreneurship. Is there, you know, when you mentioned you worked for, you know, in a place that, or different clinics for 10 years before making this decision to start your own business, was there any courses, books, online mentors, or you know, did you do any kind of studying or to prepare yourself to finally go out on your own?
I did a lot of reading. You know, I did a lot of reading over time. I read a ton of books. I, you know, starting a successful business plan in Canada was one of them by Jack James. Business Mastery was another one that I read through. It was one that I leafed through, the Canadian Legal Guide for Small Business, Business Plan for Dummies. I have that book sitting right here on my shelf. The Practice Acceleration Method by Tristan Bond was another one that I leafed through. So, and then I think one of the best books that I had read was one by Maxwell. It was the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Mm. And what I'm realizing is, you know, because it's pretty uncommon, you know, Pat, for an RMT to run like a multidisciplinary practice. It's just not the norm. And so what I realize is that, you know, I have experience, and I ran other businesses in the past in different sort of sectors. And so I kind of pulled together all of this knowledge, and I really, really worked on my leadership skills. You know, I got into coaching and like coaching, like sports, not like business coaching or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I just started to practice a lot of the skills that I thought I needed to, you know, become a business owner. And I had some great mentors in different sectors, never in the same sector. You know, a lot of the things that you need to know are transferable among, you know, every business, really. I mean, one of my mentors still, he works in real estate. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's a service industry, right? Like, you don't have anything to sell except yourself. You're just, all the principles are exactly the same. And so mentors, absolutely. Finding a great mentor is hands down the best thing, you know, that you can do. And I've been fortunate enough to have a few over the years. And then, you know, dive into some of the literature. You know, there's a lot of smart people out there. And so I read what I could. I watched videos. I did some seminars. My wife's company is really, really good at like putting on these like lectures by some really, really smart people. And anytime I had an opportunity to go to one of those, I would take the day off and go.
I think that's really key, John. You know, something that I know personally, I'm a lifelong learner. And I think it's something that anyone that's considering going out on their own should really do some research ahead of time. I'm not suggesting they overthink things, because I think that's a problem sometimes. You know, I've met with people where they've been working on business plan for 3 years. I mean, you know, either you're going to do it or you're not. I'm not saying you got to go in blind. You got to go in prepared. But at some point, you have to make a decision. Is this for you or not? And if it is, then you got to go in knowing that it's not going to be 100% correct right away. Nothing ever is. And you have to accept that and be willing to take on what challenges you have come your way head on and deal with them and not get discouraged. I mean, you know, you mentioned mentorship, and I think that's a really key component to anyone out there that's thinking of starting their own business. Would you say, John, is that the key piece of advice you'd give somebody that's thinking of doing this?
I think so. I think, for my learning style, like, you know, I absorb off of people around me. You know, I'm a product of the five people that I hang around the most. And so I always found that, you know, if I found good people that were like-minded, motivated people that, you know, like to communicate and share ideas and work in sort of a collaborative sense, that I absorbed a lot of those qualities. And so that was always a very easy thing for me to do. You know, reading, I find, was always tough to find time to do it. I'd get kind of bored with it. So when I say like I would leaf through books, like I really literally would. I wouldn't read the whole book. I would just like find the parts I found interesting, pull the takeaways out, and then put it on the shelf. So the mentorship piece for me was probably the biggest thing.
Right. John, first of all, thanks for your time today. We really appreciate you doing this. Where can our listeners find out more about your company?
Well, we do have a website. We've got a couple, actually. One would be barhavenhealthhub.ca, and the other one would be manatickhealthhub.ca. So they are, you know, the way we operate them is they're two standalone businesses, but we do, you know, we share everything in terms of like software, even our, you know, the front desk phone number is even the same. So website would be the best way to find us. If you had any sort of questions, shoot us an email, give us a call, or, you know, better yet, just book an appointment and come on in and see us.
Thanks so much for your time today, John. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.